Blackbird Podcast. My name is Ariel, and I am joined by my co-host. It's Grace. I'm so glad to be back. How are you, Grace?
Good. Yeah, you got your sentence created? You got the confession?
It's like right at the end. I got so lucky. It was pretty tense. Not as tense as I think Jimmy had it here, but tense enough. This is the series finale because it's it's a one off.
Yeah, it's a mini series. Yeah,
I'm glad that there are things that end. Just as far as like the TV landscape goes, I think it's a rare and fresh thing. But before we continue, I just wanted to give a quick content warning up front that this episode, this finale, contains discussions about sexual assault and suicide attempts as well. And our conversation will at least have mentions of those things. So please proceed with that in mind. But yeah, there's the finale. That's a big deal off the bat. And I wasn't sure what to expect. I liked it. I thought... it's one of those cases for me where like I got emotional and what's the saying? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I think that it wasn't like 100% perfect along the way, but, all in all, like, I think it was kind of special what they were able to pull off here.
Yeah. I think I do have some qualms even with the finale. Like, I don't know how much they were trying to be extremely true to Jimmy Keane's story, but boy, there's some stuff in here that like still feels like it's totally pointless. CO Carter, I come away nothing. There's no teeth to that story at all.
Our favorite character got no justice.
Yeah, Vincent the Chin gets like one like you know, sayonara pal, you know, gets like a thing. It was not what I was expecting at all. You know, the ending, I like that it's a bit of a subversion, that it was not like he was just like got all the details, that like he eventually like reaches his own breaking point and how much he can take in terms of like, I need you to like tell people you did this so that the parents can have peace. So I thought, I mean, for me, the thing about the show, the acting performances are like incredibly stellar. I think they're very, very good. And then I think that the like the actual like story and themes that they're playing on are pretty strong. And I think the plot and story to a degree like was not as clean as I think it could have been. It's like my takeaway from the show.
Yeah, I think that totally makes sense. I think the strongest parts of it were those performances, especially from, the two who are ostensibly the two main leads. Like, I think in the beginning, you kind of feel like it's Macaulay a little bit and Jimmy, but ultimately it's obviously Jimmy and Larry. And I think those two performances, especially here in the last episode, episode 5 that you and LaTanya talked about, and here in the finale, like those two really, really, really need to, by virtue of the script, but like really do elevate their performances, elevate the emotional stakes of the thing. And they're really the part that mattered the most, that felt the most important. And to your point, some of these other like plot things didn't really matter. And that's where I think, you know, some of the sum of its parts things comes in, where it's like, yeah, these things don't add up to much, as you basically said. But I think the emotional heart of the things that were ringing true did enough where I felt like I was relieved. Like, I was kind of going into it, I was like, okay, how am I going to feel after this? Am I going to feel like this is something I can recommend? Am I going to feel like this is something that was quote unquote worth it? And I was happy that I feel that it was, as dumb and simple minded as that sounds.
No, I think that's fair. You know, even Macaulay and Miller, who I thought were a little bit underutilized throughout the series, do get this moment with like, of basically convincing Gary that like, hey, you have to see that your brother is, you know, basically needs to be locked up.
Himself, and we do
get, and we do get the stuff at the end, and then it turns out that like, you know, Larry recanted his stories, but
Classic Larry. He's our the episode, now that you mentioned it, the episode ends and begins with different Larry recants. We're like,
yes,
you know, we got an we got our first live in-person one. We've seen so many mentions of the recant. And then it ends with a very common thing in documentaries, or, you know, these like docudramas based on true stories, where they give you like a little bit of a post script exposition dump, so to speak.
Where are they now?
Where are they now?
Larry's still in prison.
A lot. Thankfully, he is, thanks to a lot of the plot machinations from this episode. The brunt of the episode, we can just like jump right in, is basically obviously the plot that's been driving the entire, you know, series thus far, which is Jimmy needs to get the information. Coming out of last week, like, it was such a harrowing ending to see him sitting there, you know, not being able to answer Larry at all, like literally crying.
Hand in his fist. Yeah, it's brutal. Yeah, trying not to make any noise. Yeah.
That was a high point for his acting, but a low point for his emotional state. I think it's like right off the bat, he's having nightmares. Like, it's so messed up. Like, we see him like where he ended up at the NLS episode, and to see this episode now, he has graduated to full on nightmares about Larry.
Yeah.
Pretty disturbing ones, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's sad with his dad intermingled in there. He's choking Macaulay. It's not good. I was about to talk about how I feel like one of the things that I think the show, you know, in part of being a 6-part miniseries, I think that they try with Carter and it just like really doesn't work. But this idea, like when Jimmy is being released and they're like thanking him for his service, and you're like, you know, and for going into like the Springfield Penitentiary, I feel like to a degree, like, the prison never really felt dangerous to a degree. Like, for a show that like had a literal riot during the show, like the most I think we ever get is when that guy's like confronting Jimmy about the TV, the channel, and how much, and then Jimmy just beats the crap out of him. Right. I feel like the one piece I think that was like missing about is that like this idea that like, not only is he have to like hang out with Larry Hall and get a confession out of Larry Hall, and it's some of the like most graphic and disturbing things he's ever heard in his life, but he also has to do it in the midst of like being in Springfield Penitentiary. And I feel like, you know, that really like, you know, would start to round out would balloon the cast to a degree to have all these like characters. Like, I don't need Orange is the New Black up in here, you know, but I feel like the prison being sort of as much of a threat to Jimmy as everything else that's going on is something that like didn't totally, I think, wasn't executed perfectly. But at least here with like the nightmares he's having, everything, you know, I think they do a good job of showing that like everything that's happening, even if it's just the Larry stuff, is really taking a toll on Jimmy.
Right. It's all building for him, even if it's not quite successfully building for us as far as the universe. But I think that point about the prison basically being the low point is actually really smart, because it's everything that happened at the prison outside of the Larry and Jimmy of it all is the weakest. I think that's absolutely right. And it's funny because now that I'm remembering, like the thought of like the warning that Macaulay gives him before he goes in, where she's like, don't do anything that's going to get you more time. Like, I remember at that time when you're hearing that, it's like, wow, this is all of a sudden the stakes feel so real. And there's like all these new elements that you kind of weren't expecting. And that I agree that never really came to fruition. Like that threat of it at the beginning that Macaulay gives was essentially more compelling than the threats themselves that we end up getting.
And the judge at the end is like, he went through a lot. Like, you had to, you know, you get to Springfield, and it's like, I don't know. He had like this shithead guard who he just like, you know, we'll get to like the conclusion of that story.
Right. But, like, the judge is like, you had to watch episodes 2 and 3.
I'm sorry. You had to watch America's Most Wanted. That's so much. I'm sure you had to carve little birds.
Those poor birds.
Yeah. And I don't know what I want in terms of like how much danger I want Jimmy to be in. I feel like to the degree of like seeing, you know, like getting the stuff out of Larry, maybe the problem too is that like the more you have like disgusting and awful people, it diminishes how disgusting and awful Larry is. Right. Like this is, you know, we talked about this being very Mindhunter-y, but this is like singularly focused on like Larry and the things that he did and why he did them. And I guess, mm-hmm. I guess I can see in the writer's room if they're like, yeah, but if we have like a bunch of like psychopaths, really makes Larry look like not as much of a psychopath or like one of many instead of like the singular guy that Jimmy has to take down. So right. I am like, I feel like I'm critiquing the show to a degree, but also like I kind of understand the predicament they end up in and why they might have like made an active choice to be like, yeah, we'll do this like CEO Carter, Vincent the Chin stuff. That's the like danger of the prison. Even if it, to me, I said it never really feels like it has teeth, and let's focus on like Larry and Jimmy, you know?
Yeah, because it doesn't even have to feel, it at least has to feel not laughable. Like I think there are parts about like, even as we're just saying the names, like Vinny the Chin, you know, Vincent the Chin and like the CEO Carter. CEO Carter doesn't need to feel dangerous necessarily, but like they do need to feel serious, and like we kind of, they're a little bit of a joke basically in a way, and yeah. And that's not adding. I actually do think they get good mileage here in this episode out of like Jimmy's little like tete-a-tete that he has with CEO Carter, because clearly Carter is having problems now, and like he doesn't really have the high ground that he used to, so Jimmy can kind of like push back a little bit in this very interesting way. I think that's arguably like the most interesting scene that Carter had.
When he looks like a total punk.
It was like it was at least interesting where he's not just like he's being a douche. And the chin thing, it felt like they were trying to do the night of, and this is like the, like not even the kids version. This is just like a watered down, just as far as like the, you know, the prison netherworld, I guess you could say.
Dark belly. I predicted, I think last episode, the episode before, that kind of what I thought was going to happen was like, as soon as Jimmy has the information, everybody's out to get him. But I predicted last episode that like, there might be a little bit of like, Carter has his guys who can like sick on Jimmy, but then like actually Vincent's guys come to his rescue, because as they sort of allude to this episode, like, yeah, Carter knows like who he's here to snitch on. And he's like, yeah, I'm like, you know, it's hard to believe what he says, but to a degree, I do think it's like true what he's saying. Like, to a degree, like, I actually don't really care that much if you're trying to snitch on Larry. I would care more if you're trying to snitch on, you know, somebody who is doing something not what Larry has been accused of. And so, yeah, we get this like Vincent scene where he's sitting there, and I can't remember what the thing he repeats this line, right? He like says this line of like, you never effing know. He talks about the guy who like got diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah, the guy who got cancer and then busted his head and died.
And it feels like that's in there to be like, yeah, you never know when we're gonna like get you and kill you, or also like we're just gonna you never know, like I'm never gonna tell you whether I'm with you or against you.
You never know when the plot device might need to be weaponized. That's like right. That's what it feels like. And
yeah,
it turns out we never found out, right? Like as far as the chin stuff specifically, he just that's kind of the last that we see him.
It is. It's the last thing that they have, because Larry ends up, or Jimmy ends up being in solitary confinement, and then Macaulay comes and gets him.
And then they have to bust him out. Yeah.
So like, yeah, he's never really in the prison. That's the last time he's like in the prison.
Thank God.
So I don't know. Yeah.
Thank God. They're just like, I'm happy to eject that storyline. Like, it's just like, okay, next, like, you know, they didn't need to. They wisely, and I think to your point, they wisely probably recognize in the room of like, okay, that we can kind of just like let that fall by the wayside in the service of like the actual thing. And we don't need to spend any time, certainly waste any time making that pay off in a more deep way, because another show might have tried here in the finale. It'd be like, we have to make it make sense. It's like,
The guy, the actor who plays Vincent, is just like, yeah, but can I give the monologue about my friend who fell in the ice? And like, sure, whatever.
Fine. And like they just filmed it to film it, and then the editor accidentally left it.
Fine. Do the thing about the ice. Yeah, you never have to
hang out. Sure. It's like based on his true life.
Yeah.
It's complete, or worse, it's like completely improvised. He's like, oh, yeah. I have a story in my head. Anyway, luckily,
he doesn't have a fake Italian accent.
Luckily, we are spared that any whatever potential extra wrinkles or permutations that they would have had, backflips essentially, that they would have had to do to like make it make sense or make him be a more essential part of the end.
Agreed.
Because to that point, you know, by the time we get to the end, it's only the quote unquote end of what we think of, like Jimmy finally get the thing and getting the information out. Where there are like 15 minutes left in the episode, and you're like, oh, yeah. This is, you know, it's not like cutting it super close. But I do love that at the beginning, there's this, it's basically a continuation of the last one where mm-hmm. Jimmy is, so he has his nightmares, as we were saying, and then he's able to talk to his best friend, Larry, in prison. And Larry immediately is like, as we already teased earlier in our conversation, Larry's like, yeah, I was kidding about that stuff. I was like, I'm really good at acting. Like, I don't know. Is he trying to be a theater geek?
The thing that you have to know about Larry Holt, the thing that all of these lawyers are getting wrong, is that as soon as he says anything, you have to say no takesies, backsies. And because Simon they don't,
say.
And because they don't, Larry is allowed to recant his story and get away with it every time.
Absolutely. Schoolyard rules apply in prison. Okay.
Yeah. Like, hey, I actually takesies, backsies on all the murders that I confess to.
Larry is like, I am like, exclusively takesies backsies.
Actually, I had my fingers crossed behind my back the whole time.
We're laughing, but it is actually like very disturbing the way, because even here, you know, we've talked before about what we suspect, like what Larry's state of mind must be, like what he does or doesn't know. He seems to like black out, quote unquote, in these moments where he commits the heinous parts of the crimes. But here, the stuff about like recanting and saying he was kidding, which has been a part of the plot since the very beginning, it's kind of like, what is he doing? Like, is he scared? Is he scared that that Jimmy believes him and that's somehow gonna, you know, be bad for him as far as the appeal? But we have seen him recant stuff just because, seemingly for no good reason. It's almost just like the same way how people are pathological liars. He's just a pathological taker back, sir.
Yeah. So we find out that, like, you know, throughout the course of this whole show that, like, you know, sort of, you know, to the Mindhunter of it all, of like, why mm-hmm. does Larry do what he does? Which is, there's part of it, which is just that, like, he deserves to get these things that he wants, right? Like, mm-hmm, people, mm-hmm. he's a nice, you know, even Gary is like, you know, all he wants is to be known as somebody who's like kind and funny, and who can like help people. And I think that, like, fundamentally, Larry just wants to be seen, right? He wants people mm-hmm. to see him. And when he can tell these stories, like, you know, as much as like Jimmy's trying to, like, you know, the like Taron Egerton face of being like, that's cool, man. Like, like stretching his face like so much to be like, yeah, like, great.
Ate the most disgusting food on the face.
Yeah. But like, great. It tastes great. You know, he is being seen by Jimmy in these moments, and so he tells the stories, and then I think immediately, like, it's like, oh shit, I could get caught for saying all of this stuff, right? So goes back and like recants to the point here is like Jimmy's almost the one kind of like egging him on to be like, you're lying, like you're telling stories.
Yeah, Taron Egerton-ing him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I love how Jimmy plays Larry in this scene of, like, you know, either you lie to your friends or you lie to people who aren't your friends. And either way, I know where I stand, you know.
I was like, wow, this is actually great logic. Like, it was crazy. It was very, very smart. I agree.
Yeah.
From Jimmy. It's great stuff because it's like, it's working. And that's, you know, when we all know how charming Jimmy can be. And, you know, he's good at reading people. And here, he knows right before he does, he's like, oh, okay, I kind of have him right where I want him. So now I can deploy this thing of like, well, clearly you lied, or you're lying about lying. And either way, I don't like liars kind of thing.
Yeah, you're lying to me. Yeah. Your pants are very on fire.
What's that smell? Is that smoke? It must be from your pants.
Whoa, got ya.
Gotcha. So Larry's like, he's frustrated, he's pissed, and he's like, you know what? Come to my lair later, as I am now calling it. Yeah. His little shop, right? Where like he does like the woodworking and
wood shop.
Chemicals and stuff. He's like, come to my lair later and I will show you what kind of eyes I have. Because you know, Jimmy was like,
The eyes of a killer.
You don't have the eyes of a killer, yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to see that. Don't go, Jimmy. Like, this is sounding very menacing. Don't go there.
Yeah.
But yes, we have to do a little bit of a plot maneuvering before we get there, though, because Jimmy is here, right? This is where he gets confronted by CO, our favorite character, Carter, and they have their little dance, and he's like, you got to help me. And he's like, I don't want to help you. Maybe you lay off me for like a week. Because here Jimmy's thinking like, all right, I'm so close. If I could just make it a few more days, is probably the thinking, right? I'll have my answer, and then I can get the hell out of Dodge. Mm-hmm. I can get the hell out of Carter's freaking clutches. Where's this guy? Like,
Carter's also like, who are you working for? Like, maybe this can be like, I could get a promotion out of this whole thing if I like help you.
Carter sucks here so hard.
He's such a little Weasley dog here. And then like, yeah, because Jimmy's then like, well, call off the docs. He's like, no, you tell me who you're working for first. He's like, no, you tell me who you call off the docs. He's like, I don't think you actually can. I think you just want this information. And he's extremely right.
He's also right that Carter is, he's like, oh, you're the one that messed up my phone privilege, you know, because last episode he's trying to make the calls and his account wasn't working seemingly. And so, yeah, there's like this little, again, tete-a-tete that's way more interesting than anything that has ever come before with Carter. and he's like, all right, we'll see. And there's like a little bit of a danger. But because Jimmy seems to be so confident, I think we as a viewer are a little bit more confident. And I think the fact that we hate Carter helps. But we're not really feeling like Carter is all that much of a threat right now in that moment.
Yeah, I definitely thought he was sort of like a little bit of like end game boss stuff, and he very much is that. He gets like put in his place very quickly. Yeah.
He's whack attack. Yeah, Jamie has James. Bigger things to worry. James has bigger things, literally bigger things to worry about. And then he quickly, like, he can't get out. And then at one point, he's trying to get out of a cell, and he can't get out. It almost feels like there was a little bit of that thing of, like...
I think that's later. That's when they get in a fight, and then Jimmy's door doesn't open, which is purposely because they're going to put him in solitary.
Yes, right, because they're going to put him in solitary. That's right.
We do get an update on Big Jim. They're going for breakfast or lunch. He's, like, having trouble, and then we find out he's having a stroke, and he vomits on the table. And it's pretty tough to watch. Ray Liotta. Being unwell.
It really is. Yeah, LaTanya said this last episode, and I totally agree. It was just like, it's extra. It's just that like extra tragic wrinkle of like watching this very old actor act very frail and old. And you're like, I really hope this is acting and not like it almost feels like too close to home, so to speak. But yeah, that seems very unfortunate, and it's effective because we're all feeling like Jimmy must be feeling in that moment of like, oh God, Jimmy's dad is about to die, and like Jimmy's so close, and this is like really bad, and I really hope that Jimmy at least gets to like see his dad one last time while he's alive. Is clearly the thinking,
which he does.
And so then we eventually get the big. This is the final. This is like
showdown.
Is the finale of their little play that they have been having. Just the two of them when they're like alone and they're talking about feelings. And, you know, it's been a few episodes now. And I think it's quite effective as we have been saying. And this is the big, big, big explosive finale of their conversations.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff happening. Like first we see there's a map on the table. That
the amount of time it takes Jimmy to realize it's a map of the dead bodies. So it's like, come on, Jimmy. Come on.
Well, there's a thing too of like, okay, because Jimmy is going to somewhat memorize like the locations of the dots in relation to the state borders and rivers that seem to run through these states, right? Because it's basically like what we can describe as like a huge map of perhaps 4, 5, 6 states, like all along, you know, all along the route of where Larry has like killed all these women. It's horrible. But he has the map and he has the dots. As viewers, I think I can speak comfortably for everyone that we kind of recognize what it is right away. Of like, there are dots, there are birds, there are these whittled birds. There are 21 of them. So clearly he seems to have killed 21 more women, which I think is more than they know about. Or at least like that they have like a full total tally on.
I think it's
like
13. I think 13 is their original number.
Yeah. Like 13, 15 gets thrown around at some point. This is like extra horrific to learn that the number is in actuality this high. Any number is too high, but the number is higher than they knew. And he seemingly made a bird for, we know that the birds like were the watchers of death. They like watch over the dead by Larry's own admittance. So him making these birds is very intentional. There's no like gray area to speak of as far as I'm concerned.
Nope, they're not gray birds. They are black birds.
They're not gray birds. They're black birds.
Mm-hmm. They guard the spirits to make sure they're okay. Yeah.
Right. And they're actually like, what would you call that? Like a camel bird? Because they're like wood colored. They still haven't been painted.
Yeah, Gary's gonna play them blacker than the blackest black you've ever seen. Which I didn't. I don't know why, but I don't like him saying that.
No, thank you, please. Is my response to that. Like, you might as well said, I'm gonna paint them black and give them like little red dots for eyes, like to be like super, super creepy.
Nope.
But seemingly he's sending the locations of the bodies to his brother so that his brother can find the locations and bury the birds there with them. Like, is that what we're supposed to I'm just trying to like think through like the Larry logic of what even was the point of this.
Maybe, I guess,
because he was sending it to his brother, and ultimately it doesn't matter why he was sending them, because spoiler alert, Grandpa Jerry is like, nah, I'm burning this.
Yeah. Burning these. Yeah. There's also a good, this is the exact moment where he's like, you know, they guard the spirits to make sure they're okay. And they're talking about the eye. And he's like, are these the eyes you wanted to see? And he stares at Jimmy with these big bulgy eyes. Boy, the map just sitting there made me so mad that Jimmy doesn't just go get the map. It made me so mad. Jimmy, you got to get the map, I think.
Grab the map. Your big failure. Yeah, I know. He's probably thinking like, how do I grab it before and clear? And he's not going to have any opportunity to once their volumes rise and they kind of like, Jerry like pins him against the wall out of anger, because then the guards are going to come in. But I agree. It was like, you need to find a way to grab that dude, get like that distract map. Him. Tell him there's like a huge disgusting mess in the corner that he's going to have to get like sand
and bristle
and whatever to like really elbow grease it. He'll be busy on that. Grab the damn map. Like, what are we doing here? Get out of there.
That's my only thing, is I feel like Jimmy didn't play it cool enough for quite long enough, you know?
Yeah. And as we think it through now, like, what would that have even entailed? Because he had tried, we'll see him shortly after this, try to use the number, try to get in touch with the warden. Like, it seems like the map wouldn't have gotten very far, unfortunately. But to your point about Jimmy not keeping his cool, he's basically like, you know, Jimmy is telling him now, we get like a full confession essentially about like one of the victims that he names by name, and how the very graphic and horrible way that he attacked this person and eventually killed this person.
And this is the most lively to a degree, like assertive, mm-hmm. That we've ever seen Larry, is when they're having this conversation about there's a care that needs to be taken. It can't just be casual. And Jimmy's saying, no, sometimes sex is just sex. And like, Larry is like, no. Like, no.
Never.
Jimmy's trying to say like, every interaction is the same weight, we'd all go insane. But Larry's saying, no, like every interaction is important. You get to be part of something. And so this is where he's going to start to talk about like his role in like a lot of these of the murders that he's done, right? Is that like he folded the clothes. It's an act of kindness from a deity.
Yeah, the mention of the deity is very bizarre and extra scary because I believe it's the first time we get anything like that from him of like almost like
other invoking, than like floating, like the floating stuff. Yeah.
Floating. And perhaps there's like a somewhat supernatural element of like the blackbirds watching over the dead. But like other than that, this like deity that he speaks of that like he seems to connect to via these acts that he is speaking of. Is very disturbing and like super, super bonkers. Like in some, there's a world in which I'm like, oh, we could have gotten more of that, but it's almost like more, weird and disturbing that this is the first time he mentions it, because clearly this is like very, very, very deeply hidden kind of, like this is the kind of stuff he's only like saying to himself in his brain. So this like mention of something new, I think kind of speaks to, the level of truth that we're getting at here.
Yeah. This scene, you know, and he's talking about how like the grave he dug for Trisha was like the nicest he ever dug. Like he did it with care. Like he's dug more graves than Jimmy has ever like effed women.
The 80 women that he's been with.
Yeah.
The thrusting, I have to say, like the thrusting.
Oh yeah. That was wild.
Like, is that 80? I was like, well, that was 80? Actually like six. Like,
Not even close, Larry.
Not even close, Larry. Can you count? Are you sure about these numbers?
Yeah, 21. Are you sure? Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's horrible to think about. But yeah, just truly, truly like disturbing stuff that like you can't help but put yourself in that position of like, okay, how would I act if like this very clearly violent, capable of horrific, horrific harm to people, like moving his body in this very violent way is just immediately off-putting. Again, just great acting work by Hauser here.
It's really good. This was gonna say, like, you know, this is the one thing everybody wants in life is to be seen, and that's what Larry gives them. As long as his life continues on, theirs has meaning. And I love that Jimmy is just that this is the thing that breaks Jimmy of like, yeah, but like also like there are other people who like need to know and could use peace from like knowing where their daughters are.
Yeah, he's trying. He's teetering for a second. And he's like, you have to give them closure. You have to give them, you have to deliver like relief to them, you know, or relieve them of their burden, kind of is what he's saying. And then Larry first is like, you're effing with me, Jimmy. You always get me so good. You're just like Gary. You're just like my twin who drank all my fluids. Jimmy is far from kidding here. And once Larry mentions that, there is this very, very violent turn that he responds, because it's Larry saying like, oh, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get my appeal. Like everything's fine, which basically means we all know. And Jimmy knows I'm going to get out in the world and be able to commit more heinous crimes of violence and horribleness.
And the other part of the piece earlier, I was going to say, is like when there's like what Larry's psyche is there's one that's like, I need to be seen. But there's another part of like, this is what I deserve. And so when Jimmy is there's like, why would I tell them? And Jimmy's like, so the parents can know, they can have like closure. And he's like, yeah, but why should the parents have that? Is very much like, you know, I think the other half of like, not only does Larry like need to be seen and feel like he's like a part of something, right? Like larger in the world. Now he's connected to these women's stories. He has a place in the world. He is not an outcast. He is like, he's done this thing and he's actually like sees it as tribute, but also he gets that, but not the parents. You don't get. You don't.
Right. You're not involved in this process, in this transaction. This isn't about you.
Right. Which is horrific. Yeah.
Yes. Horrible. And at best, a gross and horrible lack of like empathy and, you know, human connection in a way, I guess. And Jimmy's like, oh, no, you better don't. You're not going to get out. Yeah. You know, over my dead body, basically, is what he's saying. And this is when Larry gets super violent. He's like, and then this was also so fascinating at he mentions, I can't remember now. Beaumont. Thank you.
Beaumont.
He's like, yeah. Beaumont set you. Like, there's this immediate like rage and like emotional release that he's feeling. Not emotional release, but like we see the amount of anger and hatred that he has towards Beaumont with like very obvious for very obvious reasons. But to see her, it's like, Beaumont sent you. Like, this is the most cartoonishly bad guy from like a Batman movie almost that I can think of.
Yes.
That we see him, his voice changes. He basically becomes a monster here.
I mean, Larry or Jimmy calls him a demented effing monster.
Yeah.
Larry will also yell, "Go F your mother. I know you thought about it."
Which is like the unnecessary extra dig. Like, I know you thought about it.
Nobody's thinking about effing their mother, I think, except for you, buddy. Yeah.
I think I can confidently say that.
Yeah, I think you missed the mark on what Jimmy was saying about his relationship with his mother.
I know you thought about it. Jimmy was like, actually, okay, I'm just going to be honest with you. Yes, I am here to snitch on you, but I have absolutely never thought about it. Like, I just want to be very clear about that.
Yeah.
And yes, so then this is where, to your point, Jimmy is kind of put on ice for a little bit as far as the prison and as far as the plot. Like, now he has these confessions, he has this knowledge of this map, and he is sent to his room for a little while, and he has to sit in the cell. Everybody else's cell doors open, his don't open. Larry is so happy. Larry's like, your cell door didn't open.
He's playing sad, which I think is like he's playing like the victim, and then when he knows he's alone, he gives like Jimmy the look of like, haha. Mm-hmm. Like, I got it. Yeah.
Very camp life.
Grace. Very camp. Yeah. Like... yep.
And then he's very, Jimmy is like just wondering, you know, when he's going to get out. And then his door finally does open, and he ends up, I mean, we already talked about his
therapist needs to have been in on the loop. I'm so this
this
therapist
this was
like,
bad this was a bad this is a bad look like the way right it was last episode where the therapist was kind of trying to
be like, are you a threat
so
to
many words, yeah. being like, I yeah. need you to like step away from Larry because clearly you're affecting him in a way. And she was right about that. But the fact that she wasn't at least told some version of, you need to lay off of him for reasons that are above your pay grade, or to your point, just literally tell her, was a big mess up, I think.
This is a bad look for the prison industrial system, which up until this point has had a spotless record. I have to
stellar record. This is actually a Macaulay. This is Macaulay's call for like telling people.
Yeah, I know this takes place what, like in the 90s? So I hope that they've fixed things in prison.
Yeah, I'm sure over the last 30 years. Now.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, COVID showed us how different things are in the prison system.
Yeah.
But yes, he ends up in solitary confinement, which is very scary because
he remembers that Larry's saying all fluids have a purpose. And so he
have a purpose.
Bites his finger to like draw the map in blood on the walls. This so is gross.
Crazy. First of all, it is absolutely gross. Just for the record. But yes, he's in solitary. He's like, I have this knowledge of the map. Call 911, basically. And his version of 911 is 867-5309, whatever the warden's number is that he memorized. And he has no choice but to do this thing. He has that memory. And I thought, I was like, wow, how is he going to use his saliva to on the wall? It's invisible.
There are worse fluids that could have been used there than blood, I will
and
say.
And the answer is, I'm going to use blood. And I got to say, I don't know. Like, I understand why he did it. And it's like, the stakes are so real. And to the show's credit, it's not like it takes me out of it where I'm like, oh, this is so dumb. He's literally writing in his blood. Like, this feels crazy. But I don't know if I would have, thought of that.
My like the thing about it I like is that it actually doesn't really work. It's so mm-hmm. Jimmy does it because he's like stuck in solitary and thinks that like he has to remember the map.
Yeah.
And I do like, you know, I do like that this doesn't end up being just like a Rain Man situation where he's just like able to recall it perfectly. And they're like, we found all the bodies, you know, it doesn't work. He like draws the map on the prison wall. He draws it on the like literal table. Nobody could get you a piece of paper. He starts drawing it.
It felt very like, let him be. Don't get him the piece of paper. Yes. Let him do it.
Yes. this is his way. Right. Yeah. And it doesn't work. They don't find any bodies, literally not a single one. So that is like my defense of the thing that like, boy, I would have felt really silly if they're like, the blood.
You're
map.
Like, wait, is that Nebraska? Wow, Jimmy, you're like an artist. Like, this is so to scale. The dots. I absolutely agree. I think that I love when I'm trying to articulate this in a way that's like going to make sense. I love when a show can show us like what a character's internal thinking is through their actions in a way that feels realistic to the character, but ultimately kind of doesn't matter because it's very true to life of like, we're suffering through something, we're going through something, it's very internal. And then it ultimately ends up not mattering or ultimately ends up not making a difference the way we wanted it to. And it was real for us. In this case, it's real for Jimmy. But that's kind of it. Like, the purpose that it served was for him to keep him sane and to like carry this information. Yeah. The fact that we know now that they couldn't do anything with it is like sad ultimately, but also like the blood map, like the blood map was going to be the thing. This isn't Indiana Jones, you know?
But it is, Jimmy gets the info that like will keep Larry in prison, will like deny the appeal and make sure that like Larry is never eligible for parole. So I think it's good. I almost thought I think it's very interesting that it's not like a perfectly wrapped up story. Like,
I agree. I agree that that's what it does. It makes it more interesting. It makes it more, you know, shades of gray, as the show has been like occasionally really good at conveying, where like things are not clean in this way, certainly not in this effed up system, in this like really, really effed up situation that they put Jimmy in. It's gonna be super messy, and it totally, and ultimately like to skip ahead to the end a little bit, the fact that, like we said, both maps end up being nothing, like they never find the bodies. We feel that we can see it on Jimmy's face that like it wasn't enough. Like, he feels like he should have been able to do more.
Yeah.
And he feels like it was a failure of him, a failure of the plan, a failure of whatever this like pretend stupid infrastructure that they created for this cockamamie plan.
Well, we talked at the beginning. Enough. We talked about the beginning about like, does he have to get every confession, right? Like, mm-hmm. I remember this being a thing of like, boy, it's a lot to put on him. And like, obviously that's like, it feels like that's just something they tell him to like, you got to get the most information. Cause really, as long as they basically get two pieces of information, right? Which is like info about Jessica Roach and info about Trisha Reitler.
Yes.
That's enough that like information that was never released to the public. And so the only way they would have known was if you're the actual, imagine they were like, well, actually it must've been Jimmy who was the killer if he knows this. Also, this guy drew a blood map on the wall. So I think
he drew a blood map.
He knows where all the bodies are buried. So I think it must've been
Jimmy. What kind of disgusting serial killer would bite off the tips of their fingers in order to create the weirdest map of the continental US that you have ever seen?
Yeah. So I think, that would have been quite the plot twist. The
biggest twist.
So he does get like two bits of information that are like just enough. You know, like I kind of like hated last episode when it was a little bit of like, the show writer of like, of course, Miller and McCauley, like, no. That like the bike where like the serial number is like, you know, has been torn off with acids, you know, like they know it's not enough, but they have to do the story thing of like, Beaumont isn't enough. And Beaumont's like, no, it's not enough. I don't know what enough is, but it's not this. Yeah. And then for there to be like this episode, it's like, it's almost like just enough is what they get. They don't get everything. They get like just enough to keep Larry behind bars. So yeah, I think it's, yeah, it works, I think. I presume it's the true story. So
Right. And ultimately that's Jimmy's story in a sense that like,
right.
And again, this goes to the point of like being surprising and like subverting it a little bit in a way that for me was effective of like, he went into this thing. If you're looking at his whole story, he went into this thing kind of reluctantly. He wasn't sure what he was capable of. Then he recognized the real monster. What am I going to be able to do? Am I going to be able to pull this off? Then he's all in on it. He really seems to be doing it for the families. He like, that's the thing that kind of breaks him at the mention of them. And in the end, he couldn't even get like his goal changed. His personal goal became, I really do want to find these bodies and like get this justice for these families. And he couldn't do it. And in the end, again, he feels like he kind of failed. And it's sad because he's wearing it on his face basically for the rest, you know, for the rest of the rest of time, if not for the rest of this episode.
Yeah. If we want to stick a little bit with like the Jimmy stuff for a bit, like there's the scene when he like gets released, right? When he's like, and the guy's like, you know, the last time you were in here, like you wore confidence on you, like it was like your skin, you know, like which is a bit weird from the judge.
Rude.
But I do think like this whole experience is like, you know, to a degree, like humanized a Jimmy, giving him a little bit of like, you know, to see, you know, that like he's done the best stuff, but like the stuff that Larry did, like, you know, how awful it must have been for like these families who like have no way of knowing where their daughter is. They don't have real closure. And I think it's really effective. I think the acting performance of Taron Egerton there is really good. And this is where I'm saying, like, I think the big themes in the stories, even if there's like little plot pieces that I think like don't totally work, this is the stuff that I think works really well in this show.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think, you know, ultimately poor Jimmy, like you know, I don't say that flippantly, like he's trying to be himself. He has like the interaction with like the flight attendant, which again is just like very classic Jimmy. He's, you know, being super charming, and it's not quite the same. Like I think the ease of it is there because he's so good at it, because he's so used to it, because he's used to being treated a certain way.
Yeah,
but you can tell that it's like he's wearing it, to the judge's point, he's wearing it a little bit differently, and perhaps recognizing how frivolous that kind of thing really is in the context of like this greater, darker universe that he is now privy to.
Yeah, I think it's effective. I think it works. Yeah.
It is effective. And speaking of effective, one of my favorite scenes in this episode was, and I think part of the reason I loved it was because, again, I was surprised. Apparently I love being surprised. Don't tell me that from 5 years ago when I was like, I hate surprises. Don't surprise me for my birthday. What was surprising here was like one of the most effective scenes was the scene with Macaulay and Miller and Gary, Larry's twin brother. And you know, again, this is a little bit before the end, but this is basically like the end of their storyline, where like Miller and, like you already alluded to it, Miller and Macaulay basically are able to somewhat convince Gary here, or at least make him see for himself. Like I think in the moment he's not admitting that he's seeing it that way, but like they are making Gary look in the mirror a little bit, and he's recounting, like, there's the scene, he's recounting like a time basically where he saw his brother, where he saw Larry like sexually assault someone, and he's like, he's kind of a part of it in a way, which is like, he's like, so he is admitting his culpability in this already pretty disgusting interaction that is nowhere near as bad as some of the interactions that Larry had. But the parts that affected me were like, first, there is a casualness with which Larry is speaking about that said encounter of, or Gary rather, speaking of that encounter with his brother, with this woman. And they were like at some of, they were sleeping out on like in a tent.
Yeah, they were in a tent. Yeah.
And to see what the camera, shows Macaulay's face, and for her to, like, it was such a powerful reaction from her performance from mm-hmm. that actress to like see her have to kind of get past that, like, first, like, in the service, I guess similar to Jimmy, now that I think about it, in the service of the ultimate goal, which is to get Gary to see how much of a monster Larry is, she has to kind of let that part of the story slide, where Gary's like, you know how us guys are, you know how we treat women, this is totally normal.
And yeah, it's like, he does say something,
even just that piece of it, even just that piece of it is monstrous and horrible.
He actually says something to Miller. He says, like, you know how, you know, and we actually don't even, I don't even think we get Miller's reaction, but it's like, you know, it's like, it's like, no, this is the most, like, you know, boys will be boys. You're like, nah, sometimes that's like, just like assault, you know, sexual assault or harassment, boys being boys. This scene is really, really strong, I think, in terms of, like, I think Miller and Macaulay, you know, to the point of, like, they, you know, for Miller, even, he never really ever accomplishes what he wanted to. Like, I guess the appeal, it's his confession that is being considered coerced. So he mm-hmm. needs to find more evidence to be able to, like, make sure that, like, to prove it's not coerced, that he actually did it. But I love the, like, subtlety at which, like, they come and they're just kind of like, you know, and Gary's like, so, like, no, like, he didn't do it. And the mm-hmm. way that they're so, like, you know, just like, to a degree, like, there's a little bit of, like, good cop, bad cop, because, like, Miller's consistently being like, yeah, but, like, you know, he did it, right? Actually, they're both kind of like, yeah, but, like, you know, right? Like, you know, right? Like, he did, but he did it. But not in this, like, extremely, like, they're not mad at Gary. Mm-hmm. I think they understand that, like, it is, you know, being the brother of a serial killer is, you know, hard to believe that that would happen. Right. As somebody who, like, you know, has a sibling who went to prison. I always talk about, like, for my parents, like, my mom, I don't think ever saw herself for a long time as, like, a victim. And you are, to a degree, like, yes, right. Obviously there's a degree at which, like, Gary, you should not, like, if you have evidence that you should not be trying to, like, stop anything from happening, legally. But also, it is just, like, very hard to sit and believe, like, oh crap, especially if the person themselves, like, the lucky thing in, like, our family was, like, my sibling was, like, immediately, like, when he got caught, was like, yeah, I did it. Which is much easier than, like, no, I never did it, right? Because then you have decide.
Then,
like,
it's messy. Yeah.
Yeah. Do I believe my sibling, or do I not believe them? And what does it mean if I don't believe them? Which I think is the situation that Gary's in. And I think Gary has a lot of guilt about, you know, we'll see it later in the scene where he's with Larry in the prison. He's like, I was supposed to protect you. Like, he's putting a lot of blame on himself, which, like, for as much as I don't love Gary, I don't think we'd be best friends in real life. I also, you know, I think to a degree he is a victim, not in the same way that, like, the women who were killed are victims, or even the family, but he is a victim of, like, you know, his brother committing crimes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think I agree with that last part. Absolutely. And I think it's nice to at least, and I say at least in, like, very capital underlined letters, like, it's the bare minimum of work he can do to recognize that he knows deep down, just like Macaulay looks at him and seems to, like, get to him. It really seems that she's the one that, like, looks at him and in a calm moment just is able to say, like, human to human, outside of the law enforcement aspect of it, like, you know he did this. Like, you know that he did.
She also is like, you said, like, we've all done bad things, even Larry. What do you mean? And then he tries to push back and he's like, they're like, we know you wouldn't say that if it was just, like,
no, it was, you know, a specific thing. Yeah.
If I just jaywalk or I, like, that's whatever. That
story.
Yeah.
I think, and to see him ultimately say to Larry, you need to admit what you did because it's the right thing to do. And, like, you need to do it basically for yourself, for me, for everyone, really. But he's trying to, like, not, you know, without judgment, without, you know, any kind of you know, really ill will towards his brother, ultimately just trying to be as protective as he claims to have always wanted to be and fell short of, the only way I can protect you now is to tell you that you really need to come to terms with this for your own psyche, because he's like, you're not sleeping. Larry mentions that he's not sleeping. You're not sleeping because of this. This is all part of it. You know, you're,
this is also right after he tried to kill himself. Yeah,
that's true. Yes. Which he kind of says, but I think Gary recognizes that it's all like feeding each other, you know, like these are, it's all like coming from the same place. And it's sad. It's like hard because I'm like, oh wow, this is actually like a really good thing that Gary's doing in a sense, but also like I think about the monstrous story that he told. He's like, of things that he thought were okay, and it's like, oh god, he's not a great person, but he's trying.
I think the thing I like the most about like when Gary is convincing Larry, he's like, I have to do this for as much as I think it's like helpful for you, Larry, I also have to do it for like all the families of people who like are out there wondering what happened, you know? So I like that this is, you know, I think about this a lot about, I've had discussion with people before about like, does it matter why you do good things in the world? To what degree should you be doing, like if you do something good or you know, if you do it to get, you know, if you donate money to a charity because you get it. So there's one side of that, which could just be like, I want to donate money to a charity.
Right.
The other half where you could be like, oh, if I do that, I'll get a tax write off. Right. Does it matter why you do something good? I don't know the answer. That's a very big philosophical question. I hope that people just do good things to do good things. I think it's like, I think I'm a bit of a pessimist in the sense that like, I don't think people always do good things inherently just to do good things. I do like seeing in this moment that Gary at least has some, like, I think like it's not just about his relationship with his brother or like protecting his image. I think there is a piece of him that's like, boy, you did bad things. And like, as much as I, you know, I need you to be okay so you can be healthy and be in prison and be alive. Right. I also think it's important so that people can have closure, that you can like own up to what you did, and people can have some justice and some release is the phrase that Jimmy keeps. You have to give people their release, which is interesting in the context of Jimmy, like, I also need my release, please, from prison.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, you know, he's talking about, or like kind of dancing around the idea of justice here, and Jerry is...
Jerry? Is there a third brother?
Oh my god. Jaren and Karen and Darren.
Jerry and Larry and Mary and Barry.
Larry is so quick to invoke injustice, and he did several times to Jimmy. Like, he's, you know, he sees his plight of him being in prison as like an injustice,
right?
So it's here, like, and then it is actually like really heartbreaking, in a way that Larry is sitting there. I keep just thinking Jerry now. Larry is sitting there, saying, like, it's almost comical, but it's really is heartbreaking. It's like, not you too, Gary. Like, please, he's watching Gary basically in Larry's mind, he's watching Gary turn against him, right? Of like, now you're saying everything that everyone else is saying, and you used to be the only one that I could just like talk to and like be honest with. And he says it a bunch of times, like, not you, Gary. And Gary's like, you know what? Yes, me. I drank your fluids and I have to protect you. No.
Yeah. Well, I think to some part it's like, for Larry, like in terms of like getting away with it, I think that like that, to me, that feels like the relationship he has with, I think Gary, I don't think that Larry ever confessed to anything like he does with Jimmy, right? To Gary. I think Gary would have said something.
Yeah, before. No, I think you're right. I think it wouldn't have hit as hard had that happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's like, this is like, in terms of like how Larry is seeing what Gary is saying, is like, it's like almost like, okay, yeah, now for sure I'm going to end up being like, I can't get away with it. Like, there's no way I'm going to get away with it now if my own brother is like not choosing to like support me. No.
Yes. Which, you know, as much as you can feel bad for like a murderous monster, I did feel a little bit bad in that moment.
For Larry.
Yeah. And Jerry.
And Jerry. And Barry. And Mary.
Everyone. All of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, as, as we alluded to, we get a bunch of these like little docu-friendly information dumps. You know, on the good news front, we have Jimmy, who was able to spend 5 long years with his dad, which is very sweet. And I like that they literally use the word long in front of the five. Like, you know, that's
tough seeing Ray Liotta. They like have like, because he had the stroke, his like face.
Okay. Yes, that's a really good point. And obviously it's because like he has now passed in real life, but like, it's like too good of a job that they did. Like, did he actually have a stroke? Like, he looks really messed up. Is this some kind of CGI? Is this some kind of like weird stretchy like skin that they put on his face? But like,
I
don't know. It was rough to watch him smile and like kind of laugh when he saw Jimmy, but it was also sweet because Jimmy is like essentially pulling up on a lawn that looks kind of like the lawn that Jimmy grew up on, that they used to play on. So like, there is, you know, it is very sweet.
He did die in his sleep. Is something I will say, Ray Liotta. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's thank you for sharing that. Yeah. The real life character that Ray Liotta was playing, unfortunately, died of a heart attack. But
right,
you know, five years is probably a lot longer than both of them thought they had together. So I'm glad that that they had that. They did a crazy good job of making, at the end we get pictures of both real life people, just specifically Jimmy and Larry. Wow, like,
I know Jimmy, I was a little like, yeah, okay, I can see where like, yeah, he's close, yeah, enough. He's like a good looking, he's like a good looking guy, so we'll cast a Taron Egerton. Larry, I was like, oh, that's just Paul Walter Hauser, I think.
That's like, talk about him doing all that not cosplay, but what is it called? The reenactments? Like, he's doing like a reenactment of this guy. It's really
exactly like him.
With these burn signs.
Mr. Burnsides. Yeah.
Mr. Burnsides. Yeah, you know, and other information we get is Larry was not will not be eligible for parole within his lifetime, like at all. And that is unsurprising. And somewhat feels like justice being served in like a small way, or at least the system doing what it's supposed to a little bit, or what it pretends to do.
Yeah. How do you feel about doing like, you know, Larry Hall is still alive, right? So presumably somebody's like, hey, they're making a show about you. I always think that is, I forgot. I was like, I think I knew that. And then I like forgot about it. I feel like I'm a little bit more like, yeah, I don't know. I guess like, you make the show and you make the show, but like, there's a little bit of me that's like, it almost like to a degree about him, like, I want to be seen, right? That he can like rebel. I mean, he's in prison, so whatever. Doesn't matter, but like,
It's a little, I think it's a good point. It's a little bit like, if you consider on like a different part of the like emotional spectrum, something like the Anna Delvey story, you know, they made that Netflix show about her, and it's like, and she, again, it's not apples to apples, but like, she also is someone who like really wanted attention, and it kind of seems like you're, to your point, I think a little bit like, is this in some way doing harm by giving them what they want, or in some way rewarding them, if not outright harm, or, you know, potentially even affording them some kind of monetary, you know, future or something, you know, a book deal, something like that, like things that these things can lead to, I think is a very fair, like, ethical quandary. And it's like, okay, how much, you know, the truth is worth telling, and that's all good, but how much are we like sensationalizing him? I will say the good news is like an episode like last episode, which I wish that they had done a little bit more of overall, as we're like looking at the entire series here, was like to give a voice to like one of the victims. And I thought it was like really effective emotionally. But I think I would have liked to see a little bit more of that, like stretched across and not just like contained to an episode.
Yes, I was about to say the same thing, that like, I love how last episode they give, you know, we get to see the victim's point of view. Something I wish the show maybe did a little bit more of. I think I said last week in last week's episode, it is the thing that's like, I think, you know, that societally we are moving towards something where like, you know, trying to be a little bit more like, you know, even when there's like a mass shooting event, to be like, yeah, we don't need to name the shooter, mm-hmm. but we're going to tell you who the victims were. Like that's right. the real, you know, that's the important piece. But, mm-hmm. you know, we're fascinated with, I'm fascinated by Larry Hull and Paul Walter Hauser's like portrayal of him. So, you know, mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah, and at least I guess to its credit, the show in its final shots, because Jimmy, as we like already said, is like in a plane and then he's looking out the window and he's essentially seeing like a version of this map that he drew. And like the last shot of the show is at least, it's not of the victims per se, but it's like of the like pieces of land where victims can be buried. Like in a way it was like, okay, we're going to show the parting shot will be like of where the victims could be buried. I guess is what I'm saying.
It's a callback to episode 3 when Larry's talking about how the world is just fields. Next time you're in a plane, look down, just patches and patches of open land. It has things under them. Yeah, history you've got to dig up. It smells of winter mm-hmm. fields. It's metallic. Yeah.
Yeah. And all the more, all the more reason, like by Larry's own admission, they're showing like the victims of like, and I took it very much as like, don't forget that this is about them as much as the show wasn't.
I think it is too. It's like
point. No, of course. Part of Larry's thing is, but it's clearly very literal. And I'm glad you're pointing that out, because clearly that's what the show is saying.
But part of Larry's thing is like, it's patches of open land. It has things under them. History. You mm-hmm. just have to dig it up. Right. It's like,
like, of course, the history being that he killed these people.
Yep. Yep, brutal.
Larry, no. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we get as far as like the data dump at the end. No real thing about like Miller and Macaulay. Which, or Beaumont. You know, we didn't really mean need.
Or Gary. Yeah, Beaumont. Or Larry's dad.
Beaumont seems like not great. Like, you know,
we don't. Oh, he shakes hands with like
not that I want to have something in common with Larry, but he doesn't seem like the nicest guy.
Yeah,
that's all I'll say.
Yeah, I think that's it for Blackbird.
I will just say, for the record, I alluded to it a little bit in the beginning, like I will look back on my Blackbird time fondly. Like, as much as you mm-hmm. know, you finish something, whether it's a series or a movie or whatever, and you're like, you kind of walk away feeling a certain way, and you're like, okay, I think I know how I'm gonna feel about this in a year or 2 years, or you think you do anyway. I feel like this was like kind of, in parts, it was very special, and it was like a real like little surprise. I think that they could have gotten it had they done like 5 episodes. 4 perhaps is too short, but 5 would have been like a sweeter spot. Perhaps they could have like cut out some of the fat, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like my is like that second episode is like, by the end of it, they still like basically haven't met, and I feel like that's like
it's a detriment.
I liked it. Mostly, I think, again, like the things I pointed out at the beginning, it's the acting performances. I think the themes are really strong. Even if like the storytelling, the writing is a little bit clumsy, and leaves a little bit to be desired, I still very much enjoyed it. And I think for like a 6-episode series, like it's perfectly like, well, and it, you know, to the points of like, you know, we talked about Mindhunter vibes, to the idea of like us being obsessed with true crime. I think it really does do a good job of like giving us an examination of like Larry Hull. And those are some of the most mm-hmm. compelling scenes in the show. So I think it like sort of like delivered on what it promised to a degree, right. If that makes sense.
Yes. No, I think it absolutely does make sense. So yeah, this has been Blackbird. This has been such a joy to podcast with you, Grace, as always.
Yes.
You and I do cover other things where people can follow us.
Yes.
This particular show was appearing on the Binge Show Recaps feed, but we also do movie coverage every week that appears on the main Pusher Recaps feed. We invite you to rate and review those podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. You know, any feedback, any 5-star ratings. I don't want to like tip the scales, but 5 would be nice. Any of that is super helpful.
PusherRecaps.com/movies. I think you can also get
our Pusher Recaps. Yes, that is for feed. That is for the movie feed specifically. Yes, for your RSS feed needs. But another thing worth mentioning is it is the beginning of the month, which is a beautiful time to become a patron of Pusher Recaps. If you are at all a fan, any support you could lend is greatly appreciated. You have access to a whole bunch of fun things, the Discord itself, where you can find Grace and I talking about a lot of stuff, not just movies and TV, a sprawling D&D world. And there are discounts too for the merch store. Grace, what's up with the merch store? That's new.
Pushrecaps.com/store. You get some shirts. You could get a hat or some mugs. So with a few different Pusher Recaps logos.
A Wiggler Wombat's hat. Ever heard of it? I think you have. Where can people find you otherwise, Grace, if you're not around here?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace, covering lots of TV at the moment. League of Their Own, What We Do in the Shadows, The Sandman, and sports over on Rob is a Podcast with the Offspeed podcast. So, up to a lots of stuff. What about you, Ariel?
Lots of stuff. You are on Twitter at Hi From Grace. I am on Twitter at That Other Ariel. I am just finishing up another show at the end of this coming week. Loot, another Apple TV Plus show, is ending. The first season is ending, and I'm covering that with Dr. Amanda. We are excited because that got renewed for a second season, so we're hoping for some fireworks, maybe some cliffhangers in the season one finale. We'll see. And then Dr. Amanda and I will continue our journey, as we teased in the previous podcast, covering some other stuff. I think that's it for now. I already said movies, love covering movies, and look out for us around here and all those places we already said. But I'm sure you and I will be back at some point to discuss other things, other shows. Thank you to everyone for listening, and we will see you soon. Bye bye.